building the most important asset in your life, right? Which is for you, it is you. In other words, if we don't work on ourselves, where are we going to go? You know, we always want to help other people. We want to, and I know I'm huge into contribution, but I'm also huge into growing Mary Jo. In fact, I was, you know, giving a speech the other day. I was in Atlanta last week, and you know, I looked at the people and they were talking. We were talking about reading books and all, and I said, "Do you realize that I read like 2 books every single month?" Virtually every month of my life, I've always got books in my backpack wherever I go when I travel, and every, and I, you know, I read them at night in the hotel rooms. I read them on airplanes. I mean, I love learning, and as long as we stay in the, you know, green and growing category, because let me just introduce this to you. A lot of people go, "Well, Mary Jo, I've learned all I'm going to learn," or blah 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 blah, and I just go, it wounds me deep in my heart because. There's a great story about there about Plato and Socrates talking about the 3 different states of being. And Soc was up there teaching, and I don't know whether it was Soc or it was Plato, but it was one of the two of them. They were teaching, and they're showing their 3 stages to every single thing that's on Earth, and that is we have this green and growing section, and then we have this period of stability, and then we have this, you know, kind of like ripe and rotting type. And I'm not sure they use that word, but, you know, aging and deteriorating stage. And so Soc was up there teaching this, and Plato was in the audience, and Plato looks and says, "I'm sorry, Soc, I think you're wrong, because I think if you're not growing and you're not green and you're not growing, there is no such state of beingness that's called stability." So in effect, we are human beings, and so is and other living things. Even they looked at a chair. They said, once you put a chair together, it's now deteriorating because it's wood, and wood deteriorates. You may not see it deteriorate, but it's in a deterioration stage, right? Once you chop the tree, it's in a deterioration stage. So it applies to physical things as well, but it definitely applies to us. When we stop feeding ourselves and growing, we are in a deterioration state. So the idea is, build on yourself, continue to pour into yourself, continue to get training and classes and grow and just look at yourself and say, this isn't all there is. This is just the beginning. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. I love to do that. I look at that every day. I go, today is the first day of the rest of my life. I want to rejoice and be glad in it and make it better than the days before. So building you as your best asset is what needs to happen. We need to dedicate time and energy and effort to make sure we're building ourselves. And this training was done by Mark Harbert, and he took it, I haven't read this book, but he talked about it a couple times, 5 Major Pieces to the Life Puzzle by Jim Rohn. And we all know and love Jim Rohn. He's just an incredible guy. He's done a lot in the network marketing industry for sure. And he gave the 3 quotes they kicked off the book, the training with. A winner is someone who recognizes his God-given talents, works his tail off to develop them into skills, and uses these skills to accomplish his goals. And that's Larry Bird. It's a great one. So we work at our tail off to develop our skills, right, our gifts that we're given. You are your greatest asset. Put your time, effort, and money into training, growing, and encouraging your greatest asset, Tom Hopkins. And then if you have ideas, you have the main asset you need, and there isn't any limit to what you can do with your business and your life. Ideas are man's greatest asset, Harvey Firestone. And, of course, that's from the Firestone Company, Firestone Tires. So if you want success, then what do we need to build? We need to work on our mind. How to take your mind and move it through the process to create success. And Mark's talking about these 5 pieces to the puzzle. Number 1 is philosophy. And philosophy, what is that? That's our thoughts, our ideas, information. What forms our personal belief system and our philosophy about life? It actually will determine how your life works out or doesn't work out, right? What you already know, those are the things we already know. Like if you looked at yourself today, what do we already know? Where we grew up, what kind of family, the influence we had. And looking at my family, we were very poor. There are 4 kids in 3.5 years, you know, loving but still cold a little bit because my parents were both German. And then there are a lot of events. So you have this environment that was created that caused you to build your belief system. Because, you know, when you're 3 years old and you're starting to put things in your subconscious, a lot of the stuff that you're putting into yourself that becomes your belief system, your internal, you know, compass system, a lot of that comes from outside forces because you have no concept at 3 years old on what it means other than mom said it, you absorb it. You're just like a sponge. There's no feedback. There's no resistance. It's just constantly feedback. In fact, I was talking to some people the other day, and we were working on one of their concepts they got when they were like 5 years old. And they didn't even realize that they were programmed that way until we busted through that. It was pretty amazing. And this is what happens to us. We have all these programs that establish for us our philosophy or our approach to life. It shapes us. It shapes us. And so you can see that your philosophy about life isn't necessarily something you've chosen for yourself, but in a lot of instances it was chosen for you. It was planted in you before you ever were in a process of making your own decisions for yourself. Could you undo that? Oh, anytime you want to, but a lot of it is things that we that are stored inside of us that we don't know. They're just there, and they come out when we react to things or when we're in a decision-making process or whatever. So it's our mental mindset has been formulated by a lot of outside forces that just controlled us at different stages of our life or fed us things and facts that we gave meanings to that created that. So we filter things. We view things through our belief system. So once you build a belief system, or it's built for you, right? You're manipulated into it because of the environment in our lives or events that have happened. You know, then we have this belief system. Much of our conflict in life comes from a clash within our own belief system. So in other words, we see something and we have this internal conflict, like that doesn't make sense, or why is this happening to me? Or, a lot of that is coming up against that internal belief system that's in your subconscious that you're not necessarily readily aware of. So if you continue holding on to these limiting beliefs in your life, then what will happen is you're going to end up living a limited life, right? Like one of mine was I had to be competitive. That was one of my limiting beliefs that was in my life because I had formulated that from being the fourth of four kids, born in 3.5 years in a poor family, so if I were ever going to get anything, I needed to compete. And I made that decision like at 3 or 4 years old. And it wasn't even something I realized I'd done, but it was part of who I was. It was my makeup as a human being. I was so bloody competitive, and it paid off in many instances, but I paid huge prices for it as well in relationships. It wasn't until I busted through that information to be able to see, oh, my gosh. Because when people ask me how I was so competitive, I would just say, well, I was born that way. So if you find yourself using the phrase, I was born that way, or that's just the way I am, or that's how I was raised, or that, when you start, those are excuses for not wanting to change. They're not realities. They're excuses for not wanting to change. If there's something going on for you in terms of how you deal with people or your interaction with others or anything else, you are at total choice on how you want to be. Yet we think that that's just how we are, because that's what I told everybody. I was born that way. When you're born that way, it's like I was born with two legs and two arms, so that's just the way I was born. That's not true about your belief system. Your belief system didn't come out of the womb. It was formed afterwards. So our personal philosophy about life wasn't out of the womb. It was after we were like 2-3 years old when our brains started collecting all this information. And now if we have limiting beliefs, we're going to create a limited life. So it manifests itself in our life. So everything we are is filtered through our belief system. So, for example, I'll give you a couple examples. Your relationship with money is a big one because that's a huge problematic area for most people. I was teaching a class last week, and I said to somebody, says, well, so what is your view of rich people? And some guy said, well, you know, they're selfish and kind of self-centered, and they love to, you know, spend money frivolously. And he made like one or two other comments. So he had like four judgments about rich people. And you know what I did to him? I hand and I said, well, congratulations, you will never be a rich person. And he looked at me stunned. You'll never be rich. Because see, if you have all these preconceptions about what rich people are, driven by maybe your comparative analysis as a child and maybe a little jealousness, but mostly from probably parental commentary in your upbringing, you've just made it impossible for you to become wealthy Because if you have all these negative connotations about rich people, every time you try to become one, what's going to happen? You'll be fighting your internal philosophy. So intriguing, isn't it? How we can be our own worst enemy. I look at a rich person as just somebody that has taken advantage of all that's offered there in the world. Now, you could have judgment about what they might spend their money on, but it doesn't make becoming rich a bad thing. In fact, I think becoming rich is an awesome thing because it allows you to do a lot more. You can make a bigger difference in the world if you have more material possessions, right? Because you don't have to have a fast car and a big house. You can just go in the mission field 24/7, or you can make huge contributions. I'm working right now on helping to buy a building in Brooklyn. I mean, you can do all these things that you love doing, that feed your soul. You're not restricted because the assets aren't there. So, you know, these are the kind of things. Philosophically, are we stuck? So in our regard, how you go from employee mentality to entrepreneur is a big step too, because a lot of people come out of jobs to do network marketing. And what happens is they're stuck because they're stuck in an environment where they were totally structured. Now it's totally unstructured. So what has to happen there? We need to make a shift in our philosophy and how we approach life. So go, you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me. We have to start looking at ourselves. We don't have other people to look at. We need to step into self-responsibility and structure. We need to build structure. We need to build a day timer. We need to put in, what are we going to get done today? We need a checklist. I mean, just like Lydia gives me a checklist, right? Every day there's a checklist on my desk, what needs to get done. And I work off of that. I don't always like them on Friday night when I have a weekend ahead of me when I get 12 items I need to do. But you know what? It is what it is. And needs to get done. Find time to have fun and enjoy myself, but get the work done. So we need to be structured. We need to add structure in our life. That's our biggest weakness when we go from employee to entrepreneur, right? And so we need to recognize how our beliefs create a reality, right? And we need to change our stuck mentality. When we get stuck, and there's so many today in Manatech as well, because, you know, our environment is tough. I heard somebody else the other day talk about, wow, the environment's really tough for network marketing companies because of all the lawsuits that have been filed, and, you know, Avocare was shut down by the FTC, and, you know, you have all this information going on. And, yeah, it has become a little tough. There's no question there's a difference out there. But does that mean we can't do our business? No. That's just a fact of life. It's just like the sun rose this morning. Hello? Those things don't control you unless you give them control over you. I hope that makes sense to all you guys. You can even say, well, Manatech Corporate. I said, Manatech Corporate doesn't control your business. You do. You control it. So what are you doing about it? Right? What are you doing to strengthen your business? That's where the control is, not Manatech. Do some things Manatech do have impact on your business? Absolutely. But they don't control your business. They don't control you getting out of bed every morning and going out and talking to 5 new people today. That's you. The only one that's in control of that is you. So build you. Don't worry about Manatech. They're just the vehicle we're using to impact thousands of lives. If you don't like impacting thousands of lives, then move on and find something else to do. If you'd love to share these life-changing products and ability to, you know, build some residual income, then maybe this isn't the business for you. But these are not, Manatech doesn't control you. We want to go victim sometimes to that. And I, trust me, people, I'm so linked into corporate over here that I can be the first one to go victim. But the idea is that it's you. You got to get out of your stuck mentality. So how do we get out of our stuck mentality? Reading books. I told you what I do. Listening to audios. Some of you don't like to read, so you can get audiobooks. That's a great way. Investing in trainings. I'm always out there doing trainings or investing myself in going to trainings because I just want to, I'm on a self-improvement road, and it won't end till they bury me, right? Because as long as I'm on earth, I want to keep improving myself. And that doesn't mean watching television. It means going out there and reading books, attending trainings, associating with people who are better than me, joining organizations that I'm surrounded by up-and-coming entrepreneurs and business builders and learning from them, just learning. Sometimes we think we know so much and then we think there's no more room. Trust me, there's like you only know one little iota of the billions of bits of information and concepts that can support you. So always be learning. Coaching, getting coaching. You can find mentors out there. Your environment, who are you hanging with, right? Who are we hanging out with? Look at the people that you're surrounding yourself with. Remember Jim Rohn? You're going to turn out to be the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Well, think about that. Pictures, dream boards, music, positive people, positive results, positive. Make positive be your key word, positive. Something negative comes up, whether it's out of your mouth or somebody around you, stop immediately and correct it. That's how you learn to read language. Is you stop immediately. You don't just go, oh, that was bad. Oh, my bad. No, that's not good enough. You want to take it and you want to go, okay, so here's what caught me. What can it look like instead? And reprogram that in you. You're like a computer. Reprogram it. And keep yourself away from negative people and negative results. Recognize one thing for sure. You are in charge of your future. Not Manatech, not your upline, not your downline. You. Okay, so philosophy, huge, top. Attitude is number two. So attitude determines your behavior every day. So check in on it every morning. I think it's one of the reasons I love to go work out in the mornings because, you know what, it really makes me feel good about myself because I conquered that demon of just working out. When I don't do it, I don't like myself as much. I don't know about you guys, but is there some activity in the morning that you feel? Some people say, Mary Jo, I spend a half hour in the gospel every morning, and that makes me feel good. And I go, great. Find something that helps you support that attitude first thing in the morning. Because if you roll out of bed and you're upset about getting out of bed and you're angry about Manatech or I'm angry about your business or blah, 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 and all of that, you know what? What are you going to create in life? Yeah. You're going to carry that through the whole rest of your day. And attitude is only one thing, a decision you make. Oh, Mary Jo, that's not true. I just lost my dad, and I'm really depressed. And I go, great. So can you look at it and say, I'm at choice here? And they go, yeah. And I'm not telling you can't be, you know, like emotionally charged in regard to losing a loved one. We all suffer losses in our life. But we're at choice 100% on how we respond. We're at choice. So after all the tears and the pain that you might go through upon hearing of that, here's a choice you can make, a choice of how do I respond? Like, can I focus on all the greatness this person contributes in my life and just be so overwhelmed with joy that I had the opportunity to have this dad or have this mom or have this brother or sister or whatever in my life for the time I did and celebrate that. Come from celebration. Can we do that? Yeah. It's just a choice. Just like it was a choice. My brother was shot and killed by his wife, and a lot of you know that story. And they had two beautiful kids, 14 and 16-year-old, living in Mammoth Lakes, California, beautiful place on this planet, right? And I was so angry, I was so mad. There was no reason in the world. And she was unstable. And, I mean, it was so awful. And I was so angry, mostly at God, so I decided that's what I'll grapple with. So I went to a church and screamed at him for about 2.5 hours. But I was spent. The next day I woke up, and guess what? I came from forgiveness. I came from love and forgiveness. And I flew out to Mammoth Lakes, California to be with these kids, and I was like, it's pretty clear. Most important thing right now in this world are these two children. They just lost both parents, and I'm in a perfect position to help do whatever I can to restore some sense of constancy and consistency and love and adoration and support for these kids. So what was my job? Yeah, exactly. Jump in with love and caring and adoration and pick them up and take them cross country back home here in Texas and raise them and send them to college and you know, make sure they get off, they get married, and now they're having kids. I have great nephews, and what fun is this? Bringing joy out of one of the most negative situations. It's what? What's your attitude? It's attitude is a choice we make. Attitude. And if you look at your attitude towards Manatech, if you have a bad attitude, guess what? How are you going to grow your business? How are you going to go out there and market joining Manatech if you have a bad attitude towards the company? Or you have a bad attitude about the industry? Or you have a bad attitude about, you know, people in your organization? Or you have wherever you have a bad attitude, change your attitude. Change your attitude, change your life. We clearly need to let go of our past. A lot of us live in the past, and I go, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. You can't change the past. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. So rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, right? Yeah. So it's a decision we make every single day, and you have to decide, are you going to make a decision? Do you look at the world as the glass half empty, or is it half full? It's just a perception. We choose. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, your glass is half empty. Oh, this is a great day. Oh, your glass is half full. It's a choice. But you have to be always aware of our feelings towards something. And then evaluate, is this going to take me down the right path or the wrong path? I'm at choice. Choice. Write that word down. Choice. C-H-O-I-C-E. We're all at choice. Right? And it's all about power of positive thinking. I agree with Mark when he kind of annihilated this. In the personal development industry, a lot of people go, it's power of positive thinking. Just positive thinking. positive thinking doesn't make a problem go away. Right? But we can come from a positive realm to approach our problems. Attack our problems in a positive way. Because we don't always have that ability to be totally positive. So it's not, you know, no matter how many people want to bludgeon you with that, you know, just like when my brother was shot and killed. I couldn't be positive. Wasn't a choice I had because it was impossible. My entire emotional was all rot. I was spent. But I could know how to carry forth that loss in my life and create greatness from it. And that's all I looked at. How do I create great greatness from this? Number three, activity. External reality is evidence of what's going on the inside. So we can look at, if we're out there growing a romantic business, that's coming from inside, right? But if we're stuck, we're not approaching people in our business every single day, what is that saying? Well, maybe you're stuck in fear, your fear of rejection. Well, when are you going to get over that? My goodness gracious, there are always going to be people that reject me. I have no problem with rejection. Do I like it? No, but I have no problem because it's a reality in life. You know, there's a great book out there, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Suzanne Jeffers. Was it Dr. Jeffers? Jeffers. She's terrific. I mean, it's awesome. It's like people might hate you. Let's say you're a faith-based person. People might hate you because they don't believe. Does that mean you should feel that you should compromise who you are, or you should get glum about it? Oh my gosh, how crazy are we when we start allowing other people to control our emotions? There are people that are going to think differently than you on the face of the earth. So we don't want to have fear. No, if you have no faith in the business is dynamic as all get out. People are still making tons of money out there in the network marketing arena. We just have to do it a little differently, which is fine because, you know what, it still provides an opportunity for people that don't have one. Stay-at-home moms, people who, you know, don't like the work environment, they want to be entrepreneurs. It's a phenomenal training ground for somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur. No matter what they want to do, you can look at step one, train in networking. If you can conquer this business, you can conquer anything, right? Because you have to overcome so many things, roadblocks that face you, mostly your own internal belief systems. You have to bust through those. So it's a wonderful place. No faith in self as a leader, then learn leadership skills. Go out there to develop. That's why you go to leadership trainings. This is where I say people invest in yourself. No commitment, no hunger, no commitment to help others. You hate the pain of it. All these things. This is all you need to do is change that attitude because it's an attitude. You go, well, Mary Jo, it's my reality. No, it's not your. It's your chosen reality, but it's not reality. Look at people around you. Every time you feel glum, I want you to think, okay, how does Mary Jo stay so excited and happy about the business? Because I love helping people. I love it when people send me messages. I love it when I go out there and share with people and they go, what are you on? I want to know. One guy said to me one time, what are you smoking? I go, I don't smoke, but I do take phenomenal products. Yeah, there's a difference. Smoking would destroy my body. I lift up my body, right? So anyway, so go out there and just change your attitude. Activity, and activity will change your attitude. You go out there and be active. It transforms the desired result into a compulsion to act, right? So it's a compulsion to act. You're propelled by a vision of the future desired result. So you have an idea. That's why we always do dream boards, and we always see ourselves in the future. And it's not about where you're going to be in 10 years. You can build that out because I think that's a great thing to do. But I want you to start chopping. I want you to chop it into smaller segments. Where do I see myself in 3 months? I'm really... You know, I trained you guys on that book about dividing your year up into 12-week sections. Next year is my whole year. I'm dedicating myself to do exactly that from start to finish. I love the concept because sometimes it's hard to say, okay, each month, what am I going to accomplish? That sometimes it's hard because you don't always have control over when people you contact are going to close, right? You don't know how many decisions they're going to have to make or how much more information they want or what more steps you have to take or how many more lunches or dinners. So you don't always know that. But in a three-month period, you can really segment and go, you know what, I'm going to approach this many people every single month, and here's my numbers I'm going to close by the end of the 3 months. So you can do that on a 12-month basis, right? And then you get to take a break. So you can really have heightened activity in a short period of time and then take a break, a one-week break. So I'm going to do that next year. That's my whole goal, and if you want to join me, you can do that. But it's about taking activity. Yeah. And the important thing, that vision, having a vision for yourself will pull you. A lot of you feel like you're being pushed in Manatech business. You're pushing yourself every morning. I have to get out of bed. The language, here's this victim language. I have to do. If you're using the words have to in your language, I want you to get rid of them. Horrible. Also get rid of the word try. You don't try to do anything. You either do it or you don't do it. So people go, well, what are you going to accomplish this year? This is what I'm going to accomplish this year. I don't go, I'm going to try to be. No, I'm going to accomplish this. Now, happen, but you know what? I'm going to use language that supports my internal commitment and my activity level to create that result. When you look at people like J.P. Costa, he made decisions. He said, I'm committed and I'm going to be this at this time. At this month, I'm going to be this. And he just goes out and he puts all the activity into it because he made a commitment. So you want to build a vision for yourself that pulls you forward, because if you feel like you're being pushed every day to do something, then you haven't built a vision. You're visionless. So how many on this call today can say, Mary Jo, I'm visionless. I truly don't have that vision. I go, well, time to have one. And you go, well, I don't want to put a vision down on Platinum Presidential. I don't have that in my vision either, and I'm probably closer than many of you are to being that, though not very, but build something that's doable. Look at it, say, and pushes you a little bit, right? Something that just causes you to be a little bit out of your comfort zone, and choose that. And now, chase it and see the vigor that you have when you have that vision, right? Have a vision. So have a plan, execute the plan, keep the goal in front of you all the time, whatever that vision is, keep it. A vision will pull you towards it. Results, past efforts are a precursor to results, right? So if you're not getting the results you want, go back and do a check on what's the problem with my philosophy? What's my philosophy? What are my thoughts? What are my ideas? What am I feeding myself? What am I thinking about people? What prejudices do I have? What are the roadblocks that I've created in my own life? In my philosophy, my outlook on life, what I believe life is. I believe life is unfair. Great. I believe rich people are like this. Great. Then you'll never be one. What your philosophy controls your life. So dump all that garbage. Dump the garbage that's holding you back. But you got to do that. So check through that. See where you're failing. Check through the above checklist. See where you're failing. What results have you been creating? And why are you creating those results? Can be committed to results. But have that vision that's pulling you and pulling you and pulling you, right? And check the results that you create. But it starts with that basic core belief system. You've got to have the right philosophy and belief system. Minimal effort produces minimal results. So if you're going to talk to one person every 6 months, you're not really in this business. If you're going to talk to one person a day, now you're starting to look like this business means something to you. If you say, well, I'm only going to talk to people who want to talk to me. Oh, in other words, I'm going to put the rest of my life in somebody else's hands. Does that make a lot of sense to you? You can do that. That's called living by default. Won't be very effective for you. We need to start creating results. Activity is what creates results. So you need to put your daily action plan in place and participate at every level and dedicate, whether you feel like it or you don't. Your feelings never should control you because you control your feelings. If I have a bad day and I feel badly, I go, okay, Mary Jo, what's the problem? Why are you letting something steal your joy? Makes no sense to me. I'm at choice. That word choice is a big one. Write that down. You're at choice. So, break down the process, increase your results, increase activity to achieve those results if that's what you need to do. But you need to break it down and follow that pattern. And that's about building a daily routine that works for you, that creates the results. And lifestyle, your final element, lifestyle, that's a reflection of your attitudes and values. Some people say they get involved in this business, they go, well, I don't need another car, I don't need a better house, I don't need it. People, I didn't buy a new house, I didn't buy a new, I have none of that. I drive a 14-year-old car. I don't care. I don't need to, that car doesn't, it doesn't, like, have to reflect what my net worth is. That's ego-driven. My car is a vehicle with four wheels that gets me places. That's all it is. Material possession. I'm not into it. I don't care about material possessions. What I care about is making a huge difference in the world. And I know God's given each and every one of us incredible talents to do exactly that. So when we get to this lifestyle section, your lifestyle is a reflection of your value system and your attitudes. Don't look at it as something from a monetary perspective, rather than look at your own values and say, I'm living a lifestyle that is 100% suited to my values, right? I'm doing it. Here's another example. It's kind of crazy as it is. You already know my lifestyle, you know, because I don't like clothes. I don't like makeup. I don't like hair. I don't go get my hair done every other day. And I don't like, but and I'm not, there's, understand people, this isn't right and wrong. This is just living your values. So don't look at this as any judgment coming from Mary Jo. Each one of us is created differently. But I have another thing going. I have a sick cat in my house. And you know how much I love my cats. I've had this cat for 13, 14 years. So now I have pads all over my house. My house smells funny when you walk in because no matter how hard I try, I can't control this cat. But you know what? I'm not going to change that because I love my cat. It's a value I have. And I'm going to nurse this cat until the day she dies. Does she make it incredibly inconvenient for me? Yes. Every morning I have to get up and change pads and take care of this and that and everything. I have to shoot her up with insulin twice a day. I mean, I got all this jazz going on around this incredibly busy life. And you know what? Doesn't matter. Does it impact my lifestyle? It is my lifestyle. It is my lifestyle because it's reflective of my values I have. It's reflective of my values. So understand lifestyle is subjective. What is important to you? You can dream about, what if my Manatech business did take off and I started making $10,000, $20,000 a month in my Manatech business? What would my life look like? Come from your values when you create that. And now, maybe. Because a lot of people who get involved in network marketing, you get people to start dreaming about, and they put down cars and big homes. Why? Because we saw that in all those materials and all those big high-wheeler dealers and, you know, whoever it is, that's their whole shtick. And they think, you know, and it, to me it was like because of, and I'm not saying that could be your values, but to me it was like so disgusting for me as a person because none of those things reflected what I valued. It never turned me on. In fact, it turned me off. when I saw the pictures of building foundations and M5M and all the other things going on, that turns me on. Raising money to buy a church in Brooklyn so graffiti ministries can have a place to house themselves. That turns me on. So it goes back to your lifestyle is based on your set of values, not anyone else's. And some people, even in this article, he talked about you can study lifestyle and you can reverse engineer it. In other words, he was talking about bloggers. You know, they didn't have any money, but you know what they did? They went out, they traveled all over the world. Whatever money they had, they spent. They blogged and they created their lifestyle, which now is generating the money. Creating a lifestyle, which is generating the income. So you can choose your lifestyle. What lifestyle do you want to have? Choose it, then go create it. Only you can do it. But you got to make it more than a wish or a whim. You've got to make a commitment. I'm going to go create it. And then it becomes your reality. So people, hopefully this helped. Any feedback from the field? Any questions? Did something hit home for you? Did I tweak something in your thinking, in your ideas? This group is getting quieter each week, Lydia.
Oh, Mary Jo, you have always, always come through for us.
I love you guys. Well, thanks. So you enjoyed it. Maybe not enjoyment was the word, but maybe you go, oh, you made me think,
Mary Jo. Hit the nail on the head.
Oh, good, good, good. Sorry. Yeah.
Hit the nail on the head.
Good. Good. So you find just great. And I want you guys really, whatever really hit the – whatever that was that hit, I want you to evaluate, spend some time today thinking it through and really focusing on it and moving yourself forward. Because these are principles about just choosing different, choosing, okay, I'm not going to be lazy about this, or I'm not going to just kind of go through the motions anymore. I'm all in. I'm going to dedicate it. And all in doesn't mean that you do it 24 hours a day, people. It just means whenever you choose to do it, you're all in. You're every bit in it. You believe in it 100%. You put 100% of you into it instead of treating it halfway or negative thoughts entering your brain. Every time they come in, you just go, be quiet. And I know I talk to a lot of you in the field, and sometimes I get this, well, Mary Jo, Manatech. I said, be quiet. Manatech doesn't control your business. You do. You do. You have what I consider the best, you know, at least for the most part, Ambertose for sure. I mean, the best product in the world that somebody can swallow every single day of their life to obtain better health. And you want to complain about Manatech? Really? That's a gift in my life. It's a gift. I can't control Manatech, but I sure can control Mary Jo. So, just like you. You can't control the company. You can't control FTC. You can't control all those. But you know what? I hate to tell you guys this, but you control yourself. Is that right? Am I right? Okay, everyone, so let's go out there and make a difference. We got a great Thanksgiving coming up. We got a great concept of, you know, being thankful for everything we do have instead of being stuck in the doldrums about what we don't have. We have greatness out there. We have an opportunity to take advantage of all these season specials. We have a great chance to go out there and help people and open their eyes to, you know, what are you going to do? What's your vision for 2020? You know, that's my new terminology, Vision 2020. I want you to have a vision for your 2020. You can go and ask people. That's a great way to break the ice. You know, we're about to hit 2020. That's kind of, I know it's just kind of superficial because it's just a number, but, you know, from a perspective of our psychology, we can choose to make it something big and something new and something different. We're going to make newness out of this. Vision 2020. What does that look like? And start building on that. All right, everyone, have a great week. Love you guys, and we'll talk to you next Monday, and you're going to believe it's probably going to be one of my favorite talks about thankfulness. What do you think? Appropriate? Amen. See you guys.